Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Vaughn are back for the episode 2 recap of Survivor David versus Goliath. Alexa is chowing down on some hot dogs at the Yankees game because of her real work. This is not a choice for her. She didn't choose this Yankees game over Survivor David versus Goliath, but she's got to be there for work. And that means we get a nice, healthy helping of Vaughn for week 2. How's everybody feel about that?
I feel great. I mean, for me, I, you guys, as wrong as you are in the preseason, are even more wrong during the season. So I'm happy to set you guys straight a little bit.
This is what I like to hear. Yeah. And I won't lie. I got to say this right now, because we always take shots at those who cannot defend themselves, such as Will, such as Vaughn. I will take a nice shot right here at Alexa. This vote came down to Lyrsa versus Jessica. She had them at 7 and 8 in her power rankings. Just want to throw that out there. Yeah, I had Jessica at 12, which wasn't great, but I thought she had a really good episode week 1, and I had Lyrsa at 16. So at least I was on the right track. At least I could get a sniff of what was going on in this episode. So anybody who wants to sit down and, you know, take a couple little shots at Alexa, like, wait, Miss Specialist, what are you doing here with Lyrsa and Jessica so high in your power rankings? You know, this is the big time here.
Yeah, no, it's true. And in fact, she picked B for her eliminator. And after that challenge performance that B had, I thought maybe she was going to be on the hot seat and I was going to win the eliminator challenge after 2 weeks. I was ready to do my victory dance, but I guess I'll have to go a little bit further.
And I won't lie to you, I probably would have taken Jessica this week. I really would have. Because I don't know. After week 1, I don't know if I would have thought that she was going to win the game. But I definitely thought that after week 1, Jessica had a really good chance to go far in the game. I'm really surprised she went home tonight. You just said it. B, after that challenge, I really thought that it was going to be her. I figured B is in a lot of trouble here. She blew this early, made it really hard on everybody else to catch up. And I know that puzzle went on for days. We can talk about that. But I thought that B might have been the target. She was pushing just as hard as Jessica, but I guess they were scared that Jessica was closer with Carl. And Carl and Davey are very close together. There's your four-person alliance, and it seemed like it made a huge influence on this vote tonight.
Yeah, and we can talk more about it later. But yeah, I certainly think that Jessica essentially got the target instead of B because she was the more vocal leader in the alliance, which you don't normally associate with the teenage player on the show. So kudos for Jessica to be out there and to be trying to make moves and, you know, not content just to float by. But at the same time, you know, we can talk about it, but it eventually did her in because I think when the target came down, she was the more obvious target because she had been making connections with more people, whereas B was mostly just sort of her subordinate.
Yeah, and when I was doing the power rankings, and even we were talking about it in the last recap, my main point was Jessica's doing great and B's not doing great because B has no connections. It actually saved B tonight because her only connection was Jessica, and Jessica was really starting to put some feelers out there. Of course, Jessica and B felt a little too comfortable with Gabby. I don't think they were trying to push Gabby away. Gabby seemed like she took that personally, and maybe she did, or maybe she didn't, but I don't feel like they were necessarily trying to push her away. I just felt like they felt close enough to Gabby to be like, hey, we're getting rid of Lyrsa tonight. How do you feel about that? And of course, Gabby took that very personally because she sees herself as the next weakest one. So I don't blame her for getting like that. But I wonder if that was their intention, if they didn't even think twice, because this wasn't like a Natalie shutting down Jeremy. This was a, oh man, I'm just kind of like, we just think that you're with us. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. We can save this discussion. We can go in chronological order if you want to.
No, we can jump around. We always jump around.
Okay. Yeah, fair. Yeah. Fair. Yeah, no, I mean, I think, you know, it was really interesting. I think the way that episode one set us up for this episode by showing us all the pairs. They show us Jess and B together. They showed us Carl and Davey together. They showed us Gabby and Christian together. And then they showed us, probably most crucially, they showed us Lyrsa and Elizabeth together. And then Nick was kind of floating, and I, you know, Pat was sort of seen with the other side. And so what's interesting now is you kind of had this 5-4 split. Now you have a 5-3 split. And had Pat not been medevac, maybe an entirely different group would be in power. But because he went out, these other people were able to rally together, pull in Nick, who was on the outs. And now all of a sudden you have a dominant alliance, and you got three people on David that are praying for a swap.
Yeah, and we saw tonight a lot of people talking about getting into these alliances. We had the girls on Goliath talking about it. We had them talking about who was in their pair. But what I wanted to say, I think Christian is doing a fantastic job of right now, is he is making sure that he is in the biggest alliance, in the biggest alliance within that alliance, and then has the pair within that biggest group. He literally has a 5-person alliance. He has Gabby, Nick, and himself in the 3-person alliance. And then he has Gabby and himself to vote out Nick if it were to ever come to that. We saw tonight him and Gabby's relationship was the most influential part of this vote. I know you said Elizabeth and Lyrsa was very important, and I agree. I think that they were – obviously, Elizabeth had Lyrsa's back, and that's what got this whole thing started. But Christian felt as close to Gabby as we were led to believe last week, and that's why he ends up working with her in this episode and siding with her, because I think that if it hadn't been for that relationship, he and Nick probably end up voting with Jessica and B and Carl and Davey.
It's true, though. Let's not give short shrift to the new great fantastic alliance, the hashtag Mason-Dixon alliance. I'm all over these guys. Obviously, I was high on Nick preseason. You guys were down on him episode one, not justifiably, but Nick is back, baby. Let me tell you, he is back on the rise. Nick is here to stay. He's got Christian now aligned with him. Christian and Gabby are probably the power duo in the game. Now Nick is right there in there with them. Mason Dixon to the end. And also, let me just say, you know, Nick, great job sort of coming back from being on the bottom. More than that, he's really good at coming up with alliance names. Can we talk about that? Like, Alexa didn't understand the whole thoroughbred thing last week. But usually these alliance names are really lame. And especially on Big Brother, I know you don't watch, but they come up with alliance names all the time. It's way more prevalent on Big Brother, and they almost uniformly are terrible. But I'd say Nick is 2-for-2, like thoroughbreds hitting the whole Kentucky Derby thing and then hitting the Mason-Dixon line with the geography. Oh, I love it. It's fantastic. Best alliance namer. Maybe not the best Survivor player ever. Best alliance namer we've seen in a long time.
Oh my God. This, I thought the Mason Dixon line name was so stupid. Oh my God. It's funny though. What I do like about what Nick is doing here is he almost like, I feel like if they could not come up with a name for their alliance, he probably would have been like, you know what, Christian, this isn't going to work out.
It's honestly a Big Brother strategy that he's doing, which is that like, if your alliance doesn't have a name in Big Brother, people are skeptical that it's not really a real thing. And it's almost like that's coming to Survivor, where he's bringing it and saying like, listen, I'm super sincere with you. I'm going to these links to actually create a name with you. That's how legit I am. And like, it's goofy, it's silly, and like the edit is painting it in kind of like a little bit of a light way. But I think it's an effective strategy. I think that when you put an imprimatur on an alliance, then all of a sudden in the other party's mind, it's a little bit more real.
I absolutely agree with you. I mean, that does make a lot of sense. I just think that Mason Dixon line might be the stupid. Also,
agree to disagree. Hashtag, I'm getting the tattoo. I'm getting the Mason Dixon tattoo.
There you go. I want the Mike Tyson face tattoo of
Mason. I can't promise that, but
yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Is the alliance name Mason-Dixon line or just Mason-Dixon?
I think it's Mason-Dixon line, which I think is like either a country like song or country band. It's I have to admit that. I'm not super up on even as an Alabama.
Oh, no, it's the Florida Georgia line.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, and then there's a bar actually on the border of Alabama and Florida named the Florabama. So there are a lot of state border things going on.
Mm-hmm.
The Mason-Dixon line. Okay. Not a band, but is perhaps going to be the name of one of the great Survivor alliances. I mean, the nearest and the best way to my heart, the most efficient beeline to my heart is to compare your alliance to JT and Steven. And
yeah, Chet, that was great.
Episode 2, we got that out of the way. And I'm ready for it. I'm here for it. I think Christian, you mentioned him earlier, is phenomenal as a Survivor character. I think you're right that he's playing a good game. He's really well positioned in his alliance. But, oh, man, some of the things he's saying, kind of this next level stuff, he's so much more than just kind of like a STEM, like science math geek who understands like the numbers and can quantify the probabilities. He, you know, he's like really a next level sort of philosophical thinker. I'm really enjoying it.
That roller coaster thing was fantastic. I loved it.
Because I know.
That's exactly what people are doing when they go on a thrill ride. They're going on it because they feel like this could possibly be the end. I know that's like such a messed up way to look at it, but he kind of hit it right on the head, and I think that's great. And I think also that's why we see Carl crying in the next episode. I feel like what hurts so bad, and we saw it tonight and we saw it earlier, Davey seems to really like Christian. Maybe they haven't bonded, but every time that Christian says something, Davey's always got the biggest smile on his face. Seems like he's loving every second. I feel like tonight they got betrayed by people that they really liked in Christian, Gabby, maybe not so much Nick or Lyrsa, but maybe even Elizabeth.
Yeah.
I feel like they got betrayed by people that they might not have had the closest bond with out there, clearly, because they sided with the other side. But even Jessica's face at the end, she was like, what? Like, it seemed so shocking to her. And I don't think Jessica played arrogantly. Honestly, I don't. I think that she, this early in the game, I don't think she was doing anything wrong. She was like, girls, we got this. We're getting rid of Lyrsa. Come on. We all know it's got to be Lyrsa.
Yeah, I think Jess could have done it better. So I'll say that. I don't think necessarily she did anything wrong, but she could have approached it better. You know, in those situations when someone's asking you for the vote, even if you know it's like an easy 1-2-3 thing and you don't think there should be any discussion, you should still approach the other person in sort of a cerebral way, like you have a back and forth and like you're working with them. When you just say like she did, and of course, at least we weren't shown the whole thing, obviously. But what we were shown was basically her just kind of summarily saying, well, you know, this is what it's going to be. We got to keep the tribe strong, you know, and that's all there is to it. Easy vote, yada, yada. And even though she was being genuine and Gabby sort of misread the situation, Gabby sort of read it as, wow, she's being so short with me, so curt with me that she has to be somehow misleading me. I can't play with her, you know, going forward. And I think Gabby's very smart. I mean, as she sort of hilariously approached Christian in the sand and said, do you want to play with me? And he very, you know, now infamously said, oh, you mean in the sand. But it does show that, you know, Gabby is thinking long term. She's thinking not just about this vote, not just about who's going to be strong in the challenges, but who do I want around long term? You know, who I want to maximize the number of people who I can work with after a swap or after a merge. And this is not the attitude from Jess that I'm getting that I want to work with down the road. And maybe Lyrsa is not my best friend, but she's at least being open and talking with me about the game.
Yeah, and let's not skirt over this, do you want to play with me? Oh, in the sand. Let's not skirt over that. That might be one of the funniest lines we've heard in years. That is just so Christian. That's how I look at it. It's just such a Christian moment. I mean, first of all, the way Gabby said it was like half wine, half I don't even know, I don't want to go there. But like then you have Christian sitting there being like, oh, in the sand? No, not in the sand. What? Why would it ever be in the sand? Like, I don't understand what was going through his
head.
And
it'd be one thing, it's like he wasn't a Survivor super fan, and had, you know, if he had never heard the phrase like, "Do you want to play with me?"
Yeah,
you know, which is a common Survivor sort of trope, right? But he's heard it a million times.
Yeah,
and he still went to the most literal possible interpretation.
And this is a guy who doesn't seem like he takes things literally. You just said he's like still philosophical.
I know.
And now here he comes and says, oh, in the sand. And he starts putting his finger in the sand. That was the best part, was that he actually was thinking to himself, I better do this so that I can.
But before we get off the majority, what seems to be now the majority alliance, maybe in the game, right? Because we've been shown the Davids a lot. We're supposed to root for them. Now we have five Davids that are on top, at least for now.
Yeah.
And so I want to mention the person we haven't really talked about, which is Elizabeth. And I really think, you know, for the first episode too, she really jumps off the screen. I think she's even more impressive to me. I mean, I actually have my cowboy hat here ready to go.
But she's
She's even more impressive to me, I think, you know, on the show than she was in the preseason. And here, she's really the one that I think did the most and had the most to gain from this vote. Because obviously, Lyrsa had literally the most to gain, period, because she was the one that would have gone home. But she didn't really do a whole lot. You know, she didn't even hear that her name was being thrown out. Elizabeth came to her with that information. And then Elizabeth is the one, you know, the order of events here was Elizabeth hears it, sort of has a side conversation with Lyrsa, then goes to Gabby, who goes to Christian, who then goes to Nick and gets the crucial fifth vote, and that's what it takes. So Elizabeth really played a really key cog in this because she had clearly a good enough relationship with Gabby to approach her, and she also had the understanding of the game to know that having your number one alliance member go out during the first tribal council is not a good look. And so she, during the conversation where Carl was throwing out Lyrsa's name, she very smartly said, oh yeah, that sounds good. Oh yeah, we got to keep the tribe strong. Because that's something that a lot of, you know, first time survivor players, that's a pitfall they've fallen right into where they've said, oh, I don't know about that. She's my buddy. Do we really need to keep the tribe strong? Aren't we going to swap? Elizabeth played it cool in the moment. She kept on a brave face. She nodded along. But then she went right to Lyrsa, let her number one know what was happening. And then boom, went and tried to get the votes in a really, really effective way. So I'm very impressed with Elizabeth's time.
Yeah, I thought Elizabeth was great. And then that leads me to asking you, do you think that this was actually the right move to vote out Jessica tonight?
Well, you know, I think in these seasons where we start with 20 and we have two tribes, we know they're going to go to a three-tribe swap by now. And this is partially just the predictability of the show and how predictable the swaps have been. I think if they had been a little bit more all over the place and we had had a couple of seasons recently where they didn't swap until like 14 people or something like that, maybe I would have a different view. But I think, you know, we're very likely to swap at, you know, within the next couple episodes, probably. It doesn't look like maybe it's not next episode because we didn't see that on Next Time in Survivor. But I think that it's coming up. And so I think it maybe is a little bit, a little strong to say, oh man, Lyrsa is so much less athletic than Jess. That's the gap in athleticism between those two is really going to be the difference in whether we win or lose these challenges, which we have to win. I think that's a foolish philosophy. And I think that we've seen even the editors kind of suggest to us in recent seasons that the alliance or the player that is harping on the keep the tribe strong, is the one who is sort of playing too old school.
Yeah, and the only thing that I will throw out there to you that could make this a bad move, and I don't think it has anything to do with physical strength. I don't think that even matters. I mean, B didn't look great tonight, and they kept her around. She blew that challenge right off the bat, yeah. And they decided to go with Jessica instead. So they weren't doing this even based off of off of physical strength. Here's where I think that it could be a problem, though. If you swap to three tribes, you don't have a great chance of ending up with all of your alliance. Now, as well, what you've done by voting out Jessica rather than voting out Lyrsa, you have completely divided the tribe.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
If Lyrsa goes home tonight and Christian says to Gabby, look, you're not going home. We have Nick. We have Jessica. We have Carl. Like, Jessica's saying this to you because she trusts you. Then you have it where it's actually more of 7-on-1. And Elizabeth wouldn't even be that one so much. I feel like that everybody could work together in this situation.
Yeah.
I now don't see any way where all eight of these people will feel united and feel that David bond that they had right from the beginning because you've just created such a divide. Carl's face, B's face, Davey's face, Jessica's face says everything you need to know about this. They were shocked that this happened tonight. And I think that that's going to hurt. Possibly moving forward into these smaller tribes.
I think it's a smart point to bring up for sure. And I thought about it. I think it, you know, that's always something you have to keep in the back of your head. And, you know, a lot of people talked about how the way Pat went out. And I think Christian even mentioned it at the top of the episode, the way Pat went out really allowed them to kind of, you know, smooth over any alliance lines and keep kind of a kumbaya attitude on the tribe. And that can be really valuable after a swap. But I do think that if there was ever going to be a scenario where caring a lot about that sort of kumbaya staying David strong, if you will, to sort of paraphrase Kellen, if there was any time not to care about that, it seemingly would be this season. And I say that because I think that the David tribe, if there are going to be more tribal councils, are going to continue to lose. And if you continue to lose, staying strong is not necessarily as meaningful for two reasons. One, you're going to be on the outs anyway. So you staying strong is not going to be the difference between you getting the votes or not. It's more like you want to pick people who can bring people over. And even though Lyrsa has not been shown to be the most socially adept player in the history of Survivor, what we were shown of Jessica wasn't insanely graceful either. And so if you're going to be in a minority in a swap tribe, you really want people who can build those bridges, and perhaps Lyrsa would be better. But I think more persuasively, if you're going to have a swap tribe of three people and the Davids are going to lose the next two challenges, or maybe lose one of the next two and be down, you know, two or three players, then you can't afford to be divisive. You know, in other words, their backs are going to be against the wall. Even if Carl feels somewhat alienated by Christian or Davey feels somewhat alienated by Elizabeth, if you're in a swap tribe where the numbers are against you 4-3 or something like that, then you have no choice. You know, you're going to have to leave those hard feelings at the door. So if there was any time to sort of strike, play with the people you want to play with and let the chips fall as they may, because you're not worried about keeping your initial tribe strong after the swap, it's this scenario where the Davids are just going to keep losing people in all likelihood.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point. And we've seen a lot of buildup with the Goliaths. We haven't talked much about the Goliaths yet. We're only 15, 20 minutes in. So we'll definitely jump over to that. But before we jump over to that, I want to ask you this, because I had tweeted this at you, or maybe, I don't even know. But why did this not get a hashtag blindside? And do you think hashtag blindside is done?
Well, Jess said hashtag blindside in her last work.
Yeah.
So it's not done. I mean, she at least resurrected it. I'm not sure. Maybe they did not have enough time to set up Jess as a big enough player.
But Gonzalez got it week one last season.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, I don't know. I cannot read the minds of the producers to know when and when they do not deploy the hashtag blindside. But this certainly felt like a blindside to the other side. Maybe it didn't really necessarily feel like a blindside to the viewers. I think the editors have been pretty good lately at sort of fooling me. But on this one, I don't know about you guys, but I pretty much knew the whole time it was going to be Jess, and there was no way Lyrsa was going to go.
The reason that I had a good idea it was going to be Jessica was because of Gabby and Christian's relationship and how much we solve it in week one. Yeah, exactly. But leading up to that, this whole episode, I was pretty much thinking, okay, Lyrsa or B is probably going to go.
Yeah, well, B gave that little motivational talk about how, you know, it was all about if they believed in themselves after she did so well in the challenge, or after she did so poorly in the challenge, which seemed a little tone deaf. So I really thought that was going to be, that was sort of setting up her downfall. And it was to a degree. I mean, there's no question about it. I know you love Carl. I love Davey. Davey found an idol. We can discuss that later. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Davey at least was a little bit saved by the edit in the sense that, you know, he wasn't shown as being like, hoorah, let's get Lyrsa out. She's definitely going home. You know, Carl was shown as sort of like the big adversary to Lyrsa, and if it hadn't been for maybe the tribe strength mentality with the majority alliance, they may have targeted Carl instead. They may feel like they need his strength in the challenges. But this is a bad situation for those three remaining. I mean, obviously, as we've seen in many, many other seasons of Survivor, it's not their death knell. They can come back.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that scene of Carl crying is foreshadowing his kind of resilience and kind of coming back from the bottom. But, you know, it's a really tough situation for those three, especially because it doesn't look like we're swapping yet.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I do think that Carl looks like he's hurting the most from this, at least in the preview for next week, because he does feel – I feel like he thought he was going to come into this game and kind of run stuff. And
he seemingly was doing really well. I thought he was active. He was – you know, I think that maybe his one mistake was he was a little bit too loosey-goosey with throwing names out there, which has doomed – many other survivors in the past, but he seemed to be the most vocal person, at least from what we saw, throwing out Lyrsa's name. And he was the first, he was the person, therefore, that when Elizabeth went to Lyrsa, she said, Carl is throwing mm-hmm. your name out.
And it was Carl should go home. Carl's going home. Exactly, don't even worry about exactly. it. It's Carl.
And,
so then
when they said, okay, B screwed up the challenge, Carl is throwing out names, who's the common link between the two? So Jessica was almost axed because of those two relationships, which is unfortunate for her because, you know, obviously Survivor is a game of relationships. You want to try to create as many relationships with people as possible. And she got a little bit unlucky that those two relationships were kind of her downfall tonight.
And kind of that her third best relationship was probably Pat, who ends up getting medevaced week one. And then you're left. Right. See, I think Jessica, this is a strange second boot for me, because a lot of times with second boots, they go home because they just weren't fitting in. You know, who was the second boot last season with Ghost Island? It was
the nerdy guy, right, with the fro? What's his name?
Oh, Jacob. Yes. Jacob, yeah, and yeah. Jacob would have went home episode one, because Jacob was never fitting in on that tribe. It was never going to happen. I feel like Jessica did a really good job of building bonds with people. She built a great bond with B, Carl, Davey, and I think she built a really great bond with Pat.
Yeah.
Just so happens that you build a bond with, I think, the three strongest men on your tribe and probably the strongest woman. You're sitting there saying, okay, we have a really strong five-person alliance here. Now let's kind of take out these nerds. Or you have Elizabeth over there who's not really a nerd. But you have this group of five, and then Pat pretty much hurts his back and gets medevaced from the game, and there's nothing you can do about that. And you've built your alliance. She's done a good job of building her alliance. She just didn't do good enough of a job of convincing the other five people that they were also close enough with her that even if they were never going to be, that they could feel like they were part of it.
Yeah, and since we're still on the Davids, I agree. And we're still on the Davids, and we're still talking about the boot, I'll mention two things that I think are very rare. I mean, not necessarily unprecedented, but very rare. One is that when in conflict, or just in general, the sort of young teenage girl, as you noted in the preseason, goes really far. It's just really unfortunate to see someone in that demographic go out early, period. And that's why, you know, I was thinking, oh man, the editor seems to be really suggesting that Jess is going home, but I just can't see it. You know, this is not the kind of character that goes. She got such a big edit episode one. And then secondly, you know, on the other side, you have a minority female who's a little bit bossy, who's not necessarily in the best shape. That's the kind of person we see go out time and time again. And so really, this is kind of one of the big upsets, I think, just in terms of pure look at the kind of the type, the archetype that the two characters are representing, the one, you know, one v the other. This is a big upset, I think, in terms of survivor history. And then the other thing I was going to mention on a more lighthearted note is, when's the last time we saw such a bad phonetic misspelling of a name as Davey's Lyrica?
Oh, it was amazing.
Lyrica. I mean, maybe someone can enlighten me. I can't imagine in any world how that would be close to Lyrica.
Unless he was thinking that
Lyrica yeah. maybe is what he was trying to do.
I think he was thinking in his head that the ECA might make the SA sound, the ESA sound, and not realizing that it's just RSA. Also,
yeah.
That's not a name he's probably ever heard in his life. Sorry, right. Davey, if you hear that name every single day of your
life.
I've never heard it. Yeah. So maybe that's one you don't really know how to spell. I mean, we'll see how it goes along. We'll see if he starts calling people named Phil File, and then we can start throwing him in there with the Ralph type.
That's true. Well, that's an off-season podcast, is best misspellings in Survivor history.
Oh, File is the greatest one of all time.
This is not top 10, so don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this is one that goes out there with, like, Sonya season one, S-O-U-N-A, I think was Sue Hawk's spelling. But that one's classic. But I think maybe, you know, we'll just keep it in mind for an honorable mention, because I really feel like, you know, Lyrica, I don't know. It takes a couple of leaps to get to Lyrica. Just my view. I'm not an English major, but just my view.
I agree. And now let's, since we've talked so much about the Davids,
before we
do jump over and before we go into any type of chronological order, let's talk about Davey finding this idol. And I was very surprised that it was him. Out of anybody on this tribe who I would have thought would have found an idol, Davey would have been near the bottom of my list. I'm not going to lie. Probably would have been one of my two or three least likely to find an idol. And yet here he comes out there and he finds it. And this guy's he's set up. He is not the weakest out of the three remaining. He is not the most vocal out of the three remaining. He's the most likable out of the three remaining in that smaller alliance.
Yep.
I think he's got a lot of potential here. And I thought this was a great find for him.
He is not going to go post-swap. You know, there's no way. I mean, even without the idol, even being on the wrong side of the vote, I think they take out Carl and they take out B before him. And by the time he would do this last one yet, they'd probably either swap or they'd reformulate the alliance in some way because he's so affable. But even worst case, he's got the idol. So you're right. I mean, even in sort of like worst case scenario where the Davids lose a bunch of challenges, even, you know, even if he doesn't play his idol, he's set for a few weeks. Why would you vote this guy out? He's so likable. And now he's adding the provider role to it.
Where he's able to find the strongest player.
Yeah, exactly. So I agree 100%. And I'm not biased just because I picked him. But I, you know, hashtag blurred nation. I feel like this guy is, he's looking good. I mean, I'm not sure. He did get some personal content tonight. He was talking about the cross he was wearing and how his mother gave it to him. You always want to keep an eye out for that kind of personal content because it does speak that maybe the player has some legs in terms of longevity in the game. So yeah. I did think that was interesting, almost more interesting than him getting the idol from an edit perspective. And sorry for those of you who hate the edit talk, but the fact that they showed that talking about his mother, I do think is significant. And I think it speaks that maybe we could be looking at someone who's going to at least last until maybe the mid-merge or so.
Yeah, and I agree with you. We talk about edit on here. That's all me and Alexa do. So
yeah, I know.
I don't care about anybody. Anybody doesn't want to listen to us, you know where to go. Just not here. Right. But I do think that with Davey here, he is getting a lot of personal content. He's talking about being a provider. Now he wins fishing gear. He's got a fishing pole. They made a really big deal out of that. They made a really big deal out of his reaction to that, which I thought was very telling. I feel like they really are, and I know Jeff has said this in the past, and other producers have said this in the past, that they're going to try to go back to a little more old school of a style, and it doesn't always happen. But I really do think that with change, just like the change of it becoming as crazy of a idol-heavy, strategy-based game, it happened slowly. Remember, the first idol was Gary Hogaboom playing it before the votes even were cast. So now you have this happening where it seems like they are trying to bring you back to providers do mean something here.
Yeah, and let's not forget about the weather conditions, right? I mean, we were seeing some scenes of Natalie or Natalia, I suppose, like, you know, shaking vigorously. I mean, this is rough. This is not some sort of walk in the park. Like, I think, you know, millennials versus Gen X obviously had some harsh conditions having been evacuated, but all the seasons generally that they air in the spring, the even numbered seasons, which are not in the winter in Fiji, they've been getting off the hook. You know, I mean, I think that I saw Dr. Mike say the other day that it rained like one time during his season. But these are the real elements. I mean, this is the real deal, and it harkens back to some of those older seasons of Survivor, and so maybe the provider role matters more.
Yeah, and it seems like that's what they're trying to do. Now, would I have ever have thought that Davey would be the first provider to appear in so long? Absolutely not. I mean, Davey's not your Rupert. He's not your Ozzy. He doesn't have that feel, but this guy wants to go out there fishing, wants to be, you know, just doing anything. He wants to just be helping. He smashed a lizard or something. Like,
yeah.
He seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders. He seems very likable to these people. And I was very cautious before the season, thinking that Davey was going to be somebody who rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. But he has brought nothing but positive energy to a tribe that, as we saw in the first week and as we kind of saw tonight, is a little bit of a depressing tribe. I'm not going to lie. It's a little bit of a depressing tribe.
Especially with all of Christian's morbid roller coaster talk. Yeah. But yeah, no, I'm all aboard Team Davey. And I think that, you know, this is maybe a change in terms of edit than what we've seen in recent seasons. And this speaks to kind of maybe the producers wanting to harken back to a different era. Usually when the provider talk comes up, as a viewer, you kind of groan and think, oh, this is not the route to Survivor glory. Have you not watched the show before? The provider role, you always get nipped. You know, like when Culpepper was talking about being a provider, you know, a couple seasons ago, you just knew that he was going to sort of face his doom soon enough, even though it ended up being in the final tribal. But here, I think they actually put a positive spin on it, where he was saying, my eyes are always darting around looking for food. And this time when they were darting around, I saw an idol.
Yeah.
And so I'm very high on Davey, and I like the fact that the producers are sort of pairing kind of the idol finding and the strategic chops with the providing. I think it's refreshing. It's a nice change.
Yeah, I agree with you. And now maybe we should finally jump over to this Goliath tribe we have to talk about some other fresh material here.
Yeah.
Because I thought, okay, first of all, we haven't talked about this at all, and I think we should get this out of the way. The weather was so bad, Jeff gave them a tarp and gave them fire making kits. I thought that was very telling of how bad this was.
Yeah.
He doesn't just do that. He's laughed at people who've asked for that in the past. But this season, I do think that it was very, very terrible. You're seeing these people not be able to get any type of fire started. That's not their fault. You know what I mean? And if they have to be out there, you don't, like he always says, you don't want people who are laying around doing nothing. That just makes for bad TV. That doesn't make for an entertaining episode. You want people out there looking for idols, trying to get each other's blind sides going, whatever. So I thought this was very telling of how bad the weather was. To give them both is very telling, because it may be one or the other, but they gave them both. And now what I want to talk about, and I think is probably the biggest thing that happened on this tribe today, was this group of six.
The Cool Kids Alliance, the new Pretty People Alliance.
The
yeah.
Angelina's got John, Natalie's got Alec, Kara's got Dan.
Yep, yep, and, exactly.
And the biggest thing that we got from this tonight is Angelina does not have John.
Mm.
That's the biggest thing I got from tonight. I got from tonight that this is going to be just as divided as the other tribe was. I don't think Natalie and Mike are done. I don't think Natalie and Mike are on the outside as far as we're being told that they're on the outside. And Angelina does not have John because John even goes and says, I want to work with Natalie. This is they would never expect that this is somebody I want to work with. And I think that's kind of the theme of the season right now is you would never expect it. That's kind of what's happening. And then, of course, you have Christian and Gabby, who, of course, everybody expects that to happen. But I thought this was a very cool way that they showed this story take place because it was look at everybody just following the other around. And now we'll give the one confessional of the guy actually defending himself was John. And who does he go and talk to? The public enemy number one or two. I forget what they landed on. Maybe it was number three. But I thought that was very telling.
It's true. It's true. Though I do think Natalie ultimately was very buried by this edit. I mean, I think it's good that, you know, Jeremy tried to go talk to her. John tried to go talk to her. But, you know, her reluctance to chat with Jeremy and her general kind of obliviousness to how she was treated. I mean, there was that terrible edit moment for her where she was like, everyone is nice to me. Everyone likes me unless they're lying to me. And they immediately cut to the scene where everyone's talking about how everyone's been talking smack to her. I mean, she's been really, really buried by the edit. And I mean, in terms of game, she's been playing the worst game on the season. So I think that you're right that the John content, Johnny nicknames, as I've seen him being called online, I think that, you know, his, you know, olive branch to her suggests that maybe there's time, there's room for her. I certainly like watching her. I mean, she's kind of an interesting character. I'd like for her to see, stay, you know, to see her stay along a little bit more. I have to say that I was excited a little bit that the Goliath tribe won the immunity challenge because I knew the Natalie Cole experiment would live on at least for one more week. But I don't think that she's super long for the game. I mean, I think that she's still being set up as a pre-merge boot. I do think Mike was given a little bit of a sort of triumph edit. I think that, you know, his stock was a little bit down after the first episode. I think he's, you know, I think his stock is up going this after this episode. He got this great confessional where he said, let's see if I can find it. He said that, you know, he thinks that he's kind of back on the up and up and he has a new life in the game because Jeremy was sharing information with him and trusts him. And he said, you know, the information is the advantage in the game, not the idol. And that, you know, Dan had the idol, but the fact that he was getting all this information shared with him was actually the real advantage. And it kind of goes to the theme of the season that Jeff talked about in episode one in terms of what is the advantage, yada, yada. So I think Mike is really, you know, they edited him low, they edited Nick low, but I think both are kind of given a little bit of a resurgence edit. I think Natalie is still very much on the bottom. I don't know. I mean, maybe John can somehow save her, but man, it looks pretty hopeless for her. But I agree with you that I think that Pretty People Alliance is not necessarily going to be one that's long for the game.
I just feel like they're never going to lose. That's the biggest problem I have. And I feel like Natalie's going to be one of those people where you sit down and you're at final seven, final eight, and you go, how the hell is she still in this game?
Maybe I don't know.
If
she can make the merge, I think maybe you're right. I mean, even though she's hard to deal with, why would you take her out at that point? But I think she's vulnerable in a post-swap situation.
Absolutely.
That's when she would go because I think that, you know, she'd be weak. You can't sit her in the challenges once you're in three tribes of the swap. And if she's demonstrating the same social prowess that she's been generating the first two episodes, she's not going to gain a whole lot of friends.
Now, here's one thing that I will say. And yes, her scene with Jeremy was hilarious. I was laughing so hard. Jeremy was trying to be so nice and just couldn't get it. What I've noticed with Natalie is she has been doing a very good job of telling people, hey, you better watch out because they're coming for you. And maybe right now people aren't noticing it, but this is the benefit of being on this tribe.
Yeah,
she gets time to really keep telling people this. They haven't gone to a tribal council yet. And she warned Mike in episode one, and who did she warn tonight? She warned somebody tonight. I forget who it was. Damn.
Yeah.
She warned somebody, but she told them to – who was it? Do you remember?
I don't know. I think you were warning her. I don't remember her warning anyone herself.
No, she definitely pulled somebody to the side and said, hey, be careful because of something. I forget who it was, but maybe it's in the group chat. Let me see if anybody's got it on here. But it was definitely done. So what I think is interesting is she's doing this, and maybe right now other players aren't sitting there saying Natalie is in any way useful. But if she keeps on doing this, and people, the longer you don't go to tribal, the more you start to get a little delusional on how safe you are in the game. And all you have to talk about is who would we vote out if we were to go to tribal. So you're always talking about it, and the paranoia really gets to ramp up because nobody knows.
Yeah.
And I think that Natalie, by doing these little things, might be able to save herself some time in this game. Plus, if Allison, where was she tonight? Is she going to catch wind that she has nothing to do with these other girls? Mike, yeah. Yes, I know that he has like a little bit of a redemption arc, but is he going to catch wind that still at the end of the day, he's 7 in a 7-person alliance, and yeah. Jeremy could possibly be 8 in an 8-person alliance? I still think that there's some time for these uncool, older, and a meathead to go over there. And I use meathead so lovingly because Johnny Mundo has been anything but a meathead on this season. But to take those 5 and somehow really find a way to blindside those other 5.
Oh, I think you're 100% on the money with this point. I think that based on what the edit we've seen, I mean, Jeremy, you know, I was low on him in the preseason. His edit was kind of a little bit invisible episode 1. I think it was overall positive here. I mean, I think that
it was positive.
You know, it was positive. I mean, I think that if you're going to be preaching to someone about self-awareness like he was with Natalie, you probably should have some self-awareness yourself, which is that maybe that message to that person is not going to go over very well.
Wait, so I have to say something on that. He was self-aware when he talked to Mike. When that little scene of him and Mike in the water, he said, "I'm a little bossy sometimes."
It's true. It's true. I know. I know. They were really hitting on the self-awareness theme, but I just think it's a little bit ironic, and maybe that's not the right use of ironic, that he did not have the awareness to know that that kind of approach would not be met with a whole lot of warm feelings from Natalie. They showed him getting essentially stonewalled. I think he had the right idea, but his approach clearly was not good because she just completely batted him away. It was a bad look for her mostly, but I think that it was a failed attempt on him. That's the only reason I say his edit was mixed. And then it was interesting, the secret scene after episode 1 showed Jeremy in a really bad light, but I never really know what to make of that because they didn't put it in the episode. So, I mean, you can't really analyze the edit if, you know, they didn't include it. But
I never even watched those.
He didn't look good in that, for whatever it's worth. But I think it's interesting that you know, maybe other than him, all those other people are kind of being seen as a little bit rootable. You know, I think Johnny Nicknames is super rootable right now. Mike is being seen as rootable. Natalie, despite being terrible at the game seemingly, is someone I want to root for. Whereas the other side, you know, we can talk a little bit about the whole Dan double showmance thing he's got going on. Dan had some terrible content tonight. I mean, I really thought even after episode 1, maybe this guy could go the distance, but oof, woof. I mean, not good with everyone saying, oh man, he's in over his head, he's in for the showmance, but Kara or Cara or whatever is playing him, she's in it for the strategy, and you know, the girls have him wrapped around their finger and yada yada. I mean, it was just not good for Dan. And so if they're going to be painting him in an unsympathetic light, Natalia was already seen as somewhat unsympathetic with how she was treating Natalie in episode 1. I really think they're setting us up for the underdogs on Goliath, the Davids of Goliath, if you will.
Absolutely.
Taking down the Goliaths of Goliath.
And who better to lead them into battle than the ultimate Goliath on this season of Johnny Mundo?
Amen. Really? Amen. I mean, they're probably not going to lose, like you said, but I still do think these dynamics will come into play. I think we're being set up for the Pretty People Alliance, either because they will lose next week and we'll see that fizzle and we'll see maybe someone on that majority Pretty People Alliance go home. I do think, I mean, you mentioned Allison. It's interesting that they actually threw some random confessionals Angelina's way. They weren't super notable, but she was like talking about how bad the conditions were and stuff like that. But keeping her at the front of mind after I thought she had a pretty rough episode, you know, episode 1, but nothing from Allison as far as I remember. I don't think she got a single confessional. So
she did. She was in the water and got hit by a wave.
Okay. But not a good look for her, considering I think she was someone else that I think people came went into the season thinking that she was going to be a major player. And obviously, you know, women, especially female winners, can overcome, you know, 1 or 2 episodes of being invisible. So it's not a complete death knell, but they, you know, and obviously the Davids lost the immunity challenge, but still she was very, very absent from the episode.
Yeah, and I wanted to say this too. There's so many things I want to say with what you just said. But one, I think the editors are doing a very good job of passing around the confessionals. And yeah. I know we'll probably get a million complaints about how there were more male confessionals than female confessionals. But that is something that happens every season. And I don't want to be one of those people, but like it's at this point, it's one of those where if that's what you're going to complain about every time, just don't watch it because it happens every single season. And very rarely is that going to change. I think even in Micronesia, where your final five was women or final four was women because you had Eric in there, still, I think the men who were on that season ended up with more. And I know that that's obnoxious, but that's just something that always happens. So I want to preface my point with that, but I think they've done a very good job of passing around material. Allison was really the only one who got nothing tonight. I don't know if Natalia had a confessional, but Natalia was 100% in this episode tonight.
She was in it, yeah.
Yeah, sure. You know, even if she didn't have a confessional, I think confessionals, they get so overblown nowadays because people look at it as if you didn't have a confessional, does that mean you can still win the game? And I look at somebody like Natalia, I don't think she could have ever won anyway, but just because she didn't have a confessional tonight doesn't mean that she wasn't on my screen more right. than some other people. And I'll be honest, Natalia was probably more relevant to this episode than Dan even was. Dan had that one really bad confessional, but yeah. I feel like Natalia had more screen time than that. And I felt like the Natalia Angelina Cara thing, Cara, I rewatched the episode. I still have no idea.
Yeah.
I think that is what's most important to what we got from the Goliaths tonight. Do you know what
I mean? Yeah, I agree. I will say this. I mean, after I've already said, you know, I'm going to contradict myself a little bit after I said that maybe the Pretty People Alliance would go down. I do think that there's something to the women on Goliath. And maybe this includes Natalie, but we got that confessional last week about Angelina talking about, and then Allison with her about, you know, women finding idols. It was a very meta moment for Survivor to actually quote her talking about the exact percentage of idols found by women. I mean, we've never seen that, that Survivor be sort of introspective about that kind of thing before. And then it wasn't followed by one of them finding an idol. And then we go here and we get a lot of talk about the women on Goliath. They're, you know, wooing the men and they're being manipulated and yada, yada, yada. So this is definitely a theme that they're trying to put in our head for a reason. And so I do think that even though Allison didn't get anything, even though Angelina's got some bad content, even though Natalia has not looked great, and certainly even though Natalie has not looked great, there's something they're trying to tell us about these Goliath women. Either that they are going to go deep and they do have the men wrapped around their fingers, or that there's going to be some sort of male uprising that takes them down. Either they're going to find a bunch of idols or it's going to be hubris.
Yeah. And here's the thing that we learned tonight, Jeremy finding the idol in Dan's pocket. He was warned by Kara. Hey, yeah. Don't do that. Go pay attention for that. So now we're seeing his arrogance.
True.
And we're seeing Kara being smarter. We're seeing Jeremy making a fantastic move. Hey, if it's sitting there, might as well. Why yep. not? It's a yep. great move. Mike is the one who's looking out for him. So that shows how tight Mike and Jeremy kind of are. But I think what you made a great point with this idol is we're talking about how much the women find the idols. Dan goes and finds it, but he finds it with two women who seem to have Dan. Okay, I don't think Johnny Mundo's wrapped around anybody's finger. I don't know enough about Alec to think he's wrapped around anybody's finger.
Yeah.
Dan is wrapped around Natalia and Carl.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For
100%.
Yep.
And so I think that's a great point that you make. The women might not have found that idol, but ultimately, I think it's going to benefit the women more than it's going to benefit the men.
Yeah, and I mean, hey, they had him suckered. I mean, how many times in recent seasons of Survivor have we seen someone find an idol with two other people not super close to him, and then immediately, without any commentary or seemingly any thought whatsoever, he goes, hey, guys, look what I found, right? I mean, that goes to, like, whether he's thinking with his head or, you know, down low. I mean, he immediately told them that he had the idol, and, you know, maybe he would have, you know, he should have listened to them a little bit, obviously, after telling them about where to place the idol. But that, to me, that's Survivor 101. Just stick that bad boy in your pants and don't mention it to another person until it's relevant. So he tells them first, then he doesn't listen to their advice about where to put it. That backfires. So he's in a world of hurt. I don't think that necessarily means he's going to be, you know, a boot anytime soon. But, you know, certainly I don't think he's going to be one of the protagonists of the season that we're supposed to be rooting for.
Yeah, I would say Dan just can't win this game. He could make it very, very far, but I don't think Dan's going to end up winning. They've shown him just too negatively at this point.
I'll throw this back out to you too, not to cut you off, but I mean, who do you think is still a plausible winner on Goliath?
On Goliath? Yeah. Honestly, I actually think Kara could win. As hard as we were on her because of the TMZ stuff. I mean, honestly, get rid of the TMZ content.
Yeah.
Kara's got a great edit on this season. Everything that's been around her has been positive. She's shown getting Dan wrapped around her finger, knowing that there's an idol out there, being smart about not putting the idol in that jacket, and then also coming back and making an alliance with these three girls who think that they have the other guys wrapped around their finger, and the only one who is 100% right about the guy they have wrapped around their finger is Kara.
Yeah, so I think my only thing with her is just we haven't seen a whole lot of personal content from her. I don't know very much about her. I don't think they mentioned her.
We don't even have to say her name.
Yeah. I don't even think that they mentioned either her successful realty background or her cheerleading background. I don't remember hearing anything about that. So, we knew her in episode one as this pretty girl that Dan was going gaga over. But I'm not sure that we've gotten any very much, or if we have, it hasn't been notable enough for me to remember. But I don't think we've gotten very much personal content from her or any even very much game talk about her talking about, you know, what her approach to the game is going to be. So that, I think, limits her winner potential a little bit. But overall, I agree that she's playing well.
And I do think she mentioned it right at the beginning. She said, I've been an NFL cheerleader and I've also now work in real estate. So she did say that at the beginning. Yeah. It wasn't personal. It wasn't like, oh, everybody sit down and cry. I mean, the Davids are here to cry. That's what we're getting from the Davids. That's their role. Right. But I do think that if any of them could win, I'd say if I had to pick three that probably have the best chance to win, I would say it's Kara. It's probably Mike, and it's probably Johnny Mundo. Like, I don't even think Jeremy has a great chance to win because I think Jeremy was pretty invisible in the first episode. Yes. And then in this episode, he did find the idol, but that was still felt like Mike's story. And like you said, that Jeremy Natalie scene was cringy.
Yeah, you know? I think Jeremy's out. Natalie's out. I agree that I'm not sure if Mike is going to win, but I think that he's got kind of some Dr. Mike upside, as I think I said in the preseason. I think he's going to last a while. He gives a good confessional. He's a good narrator. I think he's in it for a while. I'm not sure about his winner potential. As much as I'd like to be a homer about my Angelina pick, I think she's probably dead. She got way too much negative content in episode one. That said, they keep throwing confessionals her way. I almost think they're trying to set her up as the villain. Maybe not Nick as the villain as maybe we thought after episode one. I think maybe they're setting Angelina up as kind of like the embodiment of the Goliath villain who's cocky about her credentials and who says, oh, bless your heart about the Davids. I think maybe they're setting her up for a big downfall at some point after the merge.
You know what she is, right, Vaughn? She's the merge boot. That's what they're setting her up as.
Yeah, maybe so.
Here's a random confessional here. That sounds a little bit like Jessica, doesn't it? Ooh, that sounds a little bit like Haley, doesn't it? Oh, it does. Yeah, Angelina's going to be the merge boot. And you were so confident.
We'll see. I'm not having totally given up on her. I mean, one thing I fear going to your one of the people you're high on, and I actually really, really like her, is Gabby. I think she's either going to go insanely far and is going to make the finale, or she could be one of our shock pre-merge complex personality boots, like the Allie being the sort of quintessential boot of this type. You were very high on Allie. You fell head over heels in love with her, if I recall correctly. Mm-hmm. And I think I fear for Gabby because I really like Gabby and I actually like her a lot better than Allie, who made the mistake of going to Auburn University. Gabby did not make that mistake, but I like Gabby a lot. I think she was, very raw and vulnerable on the episode tonight, but I fear for her that maybe this is Christian's story and he's going to proceed into the finale, but Gabby is going to somehow maybe get screwed by the swap or something like that. That's just a fear. I'm not predicting that. I hope that she lasts a long time. I think she probably will, but in recent seasons, we've seen the edit give kind of a winner gloss a lot of times on a woman. Mm-hmm. And then we've seen that woman go out in a shocking way pre-merge. And I think that if there was a candidate for that, I thought actually maybe Jess was going to be the candidate for that after episode one. But now that she's gone, could be Gabby.
Yeah, and it's been that, Jessica was that too. I think that was the same season as Allie. Jessica also had a great confessional in her song. Yeah, and I do think that, first of all, since we're taking shots at where people go to college, first of all, it's FSU week. So Christian, I have to say bad things about you the entire time now because I always forget that he works at FSU, which is a joke, which it's not even a college. It's like you have off every day of your life. But so –
at least he was identified with Baltimore tonight, though. He was identified with Maryland. He was not identified with the Seminoles. So.
Exactly, which is always a plus. I didn't know he was actually from Baltimore. That gives me a little bit of hope for him. I still have reminded him of the Tallahassee. But, hey, if he's philosophizing, he's a philosophizer. If he's philosophizing, this is a dodgeball reference. Hopefully everybody got that. But if he's doing that on Survivor and it's working, imagine what he can do at FSU. So there's my shots. There's my shots for
Free Shoes University. There we go.
Yeah, there we go. Free Shoes. I love that. Yeah. All right. But I see what you're saying. The reason that I don't think Gabby is going to go the same way as Allie or Jessica is because things haven't gone wrong for Gabby. Things went wrong for Allie. Patrick, that whole shenanigans. Then Rourke goes home. Ryan's no longer allied with her. Yep. With Jessica, it was Cole just being completely.
But after two boots, though, nothing had gone wrong for Allie. You know, they had just booted Simone right second, and she was in a good spot.
Yeah, but she was still – Patrick was still always a worry for Allie.
True, true. Yeah, it's true. She was always, he was problematic, but I think that, you know – I mean, people in the chat can remind us who are the other sort of like people in this category that have been booted recently. I feel like you, Phil, always love them.
The people who get booted right before things are about to actually go down.
That get an amazing pre-merge.
Well, last year was Bradley.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone ever thought he was going to win. I mean,
he was
complaining about the sand from like the eighth minute of the
season. Mean, he was the guy before the merge, at least, you know.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, it's not always right before the merge, but it's like that spot, you know, one or
Johnson.
Two before the merge. Who?
Stephanie Johnson.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's
who
it
was. That was a big one last season.
It was. Yeah, exactly. And I had her. She was on my fantasy team, so I was rooting for her all the way. But yeah, she completely fell into that alley trap of amazing edit. Almost like the kind of edit that makes everyone say, oh, they definitely want to bring her back for a future season.
Yeah, and I know Game Changers made no sense in terms of the edit, but Haley was another one. She had a lot of big moments in that pre-merge where, like, her doing her little thing where I don't consent to the vote, and she had the big, you know, she had a lot of episodes that were, like, building to her being a better player, and I know that that season makes no sense as it is. I have no idea why the edit was the way it was, but I feel like she was somebody, and she went out right there. In 33, you had Michaela go at 14. You know what I mean? So this is definitely something that has become a bit of a theme.
Right.
And I think we're onto something with this. So I don't think
it's going to be someone this season, I think it's probably Gabby. I don't know who else would fit in that role of having someone who has such an overwhelmingly positive edit. I don't know who else that would be.
Yeah, I don't know, because I don't feel like anybody else, unless Christian somehow didn't go far, but I feel like right now Christian is just set up to be like final seven.
Oh, yeah.
Like he's going deep.
He's
just set for a while. So I don't really see anybody like that. I have to say one more thing before we talk about MVP, LVP, if you're cool with us jumping to that, but I have to say one more thing. My least favorite thing officially in the history of Survivor, this is anything that's ever happened, is I'm officially so annoyed with you can borrow it for now. Any future survivor who is going to go on to the show, you are not original, you are not clever, you are not funny, and I'm sorry to whoever said it tonight, but I finally hit my breaking point. You are the 9,000th survivor to say you can borrow it for now. And
it was Angelina. It was Angelina. Yeah, and I think everyone does it. And once again, I think they're setting Angelina up as a villain, because I'm sure someone says it every damn challenge.
Yeah.
They only show it when they want to throw that person under the bus.
Yeah.
And so I think it was Angelina. And once again, I think that they're just trying to remind us that she exists, because I think she's going to play a big role later, but as the villain.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I mean, I don't know, man. I just, I look at this.
I'm with you. Yeah,
I can't do it anymore. Like, everybody says it every season, and it's never funny. It's never clever. They all think that, like, they'd say it with a smile, and Jeff's probably just sitting there like, oh my God, somebody drown me. Like, just throw me into the ocean and leave me. I just had to throw that out there. But, Vaughn, you finally get your chance to defend your fantasy team.
Oh, man.
So, Vaughn, tonight we throw Alexa under the bus the way she's thrown us both under the bus for years and years. Who do you got for MVP, and who do you think should be LVP?
Okay, well, I think that I alluded to it earlier. I think Elizabeth has to be our MVP, because while a lot of Davids made some good plays, you know, Davey found an idol. Certainly Christian and Gabby were both shown in a good context. And, of course, Lyrsa is the one who escaped the block. And, of course, Nick came from nowhere to being in a good position in the game. I think Elizabeth is the one who really shined through. Because once, as I said earlier, she had the most, besides Lyrsa, the most to gain from this vote. Because I think from, you know, Christian or Gabby's perspective or whatever, yeah, maybe they had some negative feelings toward Jess. But ultimately, kind of a toss-up between person I feel somewhat closer to, person who's slightly weaker in the challenge, whatever, you could go either way. But for Elizabeth, this vote mattered. She needed to keep her number one person in the game, and she handled it, as far as we were shown, beautifully. She played it cool in the little team meeting with Carl. She went to Lyrsa right afterward, and then boom, she goes to Gabby, makes a connection with someone else outside of her pair, and then the cards go exactly as she would have liked them dealt. So I think Elizabeth, I'll put the hat on, is your MVP for sure this week. In terms of LVP, I think you got a lot of choices. I obviously want to pick someone from Alexa's team, but I don't necessarily remember them off the top of my head. I know
I have it in front of me. You want it?
Okay, I know Dan is on her team. Yes. I don't think it's necessarily Dan LVP. I mean, he's in the running for sure. I think it's either him, but I think, honestly, I've got to go with Natalie. She's on Alexa's team too, right?
No, she's on my team.
Okay.
I am now muting Vaughn for the rest of the podcast.
Why did you pick Natalie? Okay, all right, fine. All right, well, I do think, I mean, I will eventually throw Alexa under the bus. I think that there's a case to be made for Natalie just because, man, I mean, ooh, she seems to be a nice enough woman. I know she's been successful in life, but woof. I mean, she has been shown as doing basically everything wrong that you can do in the early part of Survivor. And it's back-to-back episodes, but it got no better. If anything, it got worse from this episode. I don't think you can really put B, Carl, or Davey, the bottom three of the Davids, as LVP. I think all three of them, it wasn't necessarily their undoing that they were nixed. And when you look at the Goliaths, I mean, essentially the two people that were shown in a negative light were Natalie and Dan. So for the sake of throwing Alexa under the bus, I'll say Dan LVP. Because, I mean, hey, number one, as you know from last episode, don't tell people about your idol. Number two, hide your idol. Number three, play your own game. Don't be just distracted by the women. He's essentially doing almost as many things poorly as Natalie. And maybe the case for him being LVP instead of Natalie is he had so much promise, right? I mean, Natalie was someone that a lot of people pegged as maybe not long for the game, and she's kind of living up to what people thought that the trap she may fall into. Dan was someone a lot of people had as the winner of the season. And after two episodes, he's essentially completely torpedoed his chances. You guys were making fun of me last week for picking Nick and Angelina first two. And I will admit, at times, both have looked like poor picks. But they pale in comparison to Nick, to Dan's edit tonight. And well, so I will say Dan LVP.
Alexa's first two picks were Dan and Alice, and your first two picks were Nick and Angelina. I know I've taken the first two hits on this season with Pat and Jessica, and I also know that I have Natalie on my team. But my first three picks were Gabby, Christian, and Carl. All right, I'm not feeling too bad about that. I know Carl's not on the right side of the numbers right now, but I'm totally content with where Carl
is. Christian, Gabby, yeah. I mean, unless you get the whole Allie, Stephanie treatment with Gabby, I feel like that pair is going to go pretty deep. I mean, To recap everyone, Nick and Angelina, I still like that pair over Alexa's counterparts of Allison and Dan at this point. I mean, yikes, especially after this episode. But I also, I mean, I took in the middle rounds, I took Elizabeth, who I think is looking great. I actually think Elizabeth may be the person who maybe is top five in terms of winner potential at this point. I took Davey, who I don't think is necessarily going to be the winner. I think he's going to be around for a while. And Mike, I think, could be end up being the steal of the draft. Once again, not going to win, but is going to be around for a while. So there's my little pitch on my fantasy team.
Yeah, no, and I think your fantasy team's looking good. I'm not going to lie. But I do think that this Gabby-Christian thing, I just want to beat Bradley, and I think Gabby and Christian are going to last for a long time. And I just have to hope Natalie can freaking outlast somebody. I mean, we had to get B out of here so I beat Bradley. But I'm going to do this. Vaughn, you tried to throw me under the bus. I don't appreciate it. But I will say I think Dan is the LVP. Dan won MVP last week. And I don't even think he should have won MVP last week. Like, Will and I had a rule, and this is you know, inside baseball here, but Will and I had a rule that if we really thought that somebody was the MVP, we didn't really care what anybody else voted for. I'm just throwing that out there. This was in the old days.
The secrets are out. Yeah.
This was in the old days.
Bygone era.
Because we used to get like 7 votes, 10 votes, like whatever it was, and it just didn't mean anything. And we would say, you know, there's no way we can sit down and give Jervis Peterson the MVP. And I know that we weren't even doing that season, but that's just who came to mind. So
it's quality control. That's all it is, guys. Yeah. Don't get on his case. It's quality control.
Absolutely. That's what it is. And Dan was not the MVP last week. Now, I can't argue this because Alexa was so pumped to get her 3 points. So I can't really push it too far. Also, we get a lot more votes now.
It's a pro-democratic era, you know?
It is. It is. And hey, that's good, right? Yeah. And guess what? He really was – like, you know what? A lot of people voted for him. That's fine. But Will and I had this whole arrogance of, we're here to tell you why you are wrong or why you are right. Yeah. And Dan winning last week was wrong. I'm just saying that. Dan was wrong. Just because you find an idol does not mean that you're MVP. Davey found an idol tonight. had a much better episode than Dan had week one.
Still
doesn't
not
mean
MVP.
He's MVP.
Still not MVP.
Absolutely not MVP. So I will say that Dan is LVP mainly, well, a lot for that reason, but also because now four people know he has an idol. Natalie's going to find out next week. Looks like Johnny Mundo's going to find out at some point. Everybody's going to know that he has an idol. And his alliance is looking at him like a fool. And this isn't me hating on Dan. This is just the fact of what we're seeing in two episodes. And how can that person be your MVP? Or how can he – I don't care. Natalie already dug her grave week one. She did a lot of the same tonight, and I know her Jeremy scene was bad. But Natalie didn't lower her standing any more in the tribe than it already was. She was eighth. She was eighth, ninth, or tenth, and she's still eighth, ninth, or tenth. Maybe
she replicated it. Whereas I think Dan dug his hole really, really deep tonight.
Absolutely. And the other thing with Natalie too that I think is very, at least something good that she tried to do. She's the oldest woman, guys. I'm not threatening, and she's already looking that far ahead where she's saying, "Everybody, I'm almost 60. You guys are gonna vote me out first? What the hell does that make any sense?" I think that's a great way to look at it because she's putting in their mind: if you're playing this to get rid of strategic threats or to get rid of threats, I am the least threatening person that you could possibly want to get rid of. And I think that's pretty much the only way she can play, being the oldest woman and being the most abrasive on her tribe. But I will say that I don't think that she lowered her standing anymore. I got to go with MVP because he's on my team. And because I think that really he is the one who decided tonight. He is in the best position in the game right now, Christian. I think he's in the best position. He is the number one candidate to win in that five-person alliance, I believe. I think Elizabeth has a really good chance. I think Gabby has a really good chance. But I think that Christian, he's got the three-person alliance within the five-person alliance. Well, first, he has the five-person alliance within the eight-person tribe. The three-person alliance from the five-person alliance and the two-person alliance from the three-person alliance. Doesn't get any better than that. And I think that Christian has had a fantastic episode. I think that he has set himself up perfectly. And anybody who's going to tell me that I only like riding roller coasters because I secretly hate myself, I am all in, buddy. Let's do it.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not going to argue with you. He's the weaker half of the Mason-Dixon alliance, of course. But he's still he's a favorite. I mean, he's playing fantastic. He's a great character. He is delivering. I know a lot of people were high on him before the season, but he is—he's really delivering on his promise.
Yeah. So let's throw this out there because I don't know who's going to be podcasting next week. We don't know if it's going to be Vaughn, if it's going to be intern, if it's going to be Alexa, if it's going to be somebody else. We have no idea. So Vaughn, just in case we don't see you for a little bit here, who are your top five? Since you mentioned five, you said Elizabeth. Yeah. Who's your top five people who could possibly? And in case we don't see you again until like final six.
Okay. To win the game.
To win the game.
Overall.
Give you mine off the top.
In any order.
Any order. Yeah, I won't hold you to, oh, you fool, you had Elizabeth at five and Christian at two and Elizabeth one.
Okay. All right. Let's see. So, I think that I'm going to obviously be a homer. I'm going to include Nick in my top five. Okay. And I think the case for Nick is that even though he was given that bad content about how he wasn't working very hard around camp, in episode one. Since then, I think it's been all up. He's been given some really key lines. In episode one, he had that line about how the David becomes the king. He had a great line in Tribal today about how this was a game of deceit, and so trust comes at a premium, and whoever you trust the most is going to do well. And of course, you know, to go beyond the game, he's been in every single promo ever. So I think he's definitely going to be there toward the end. I think he got that great personal content about his mom. Very sad story. I think he's now in a much better position in the game. I think he's going to be a big player. I think he's fun. And so I think he's really kind of overcome a rocky start. I think he's still got a chance to win. So I'll include him. I think Angeline is out. I think I will say for sure Gabby would be in my top five. Like I said, I think that she could be at risk of being one of these shock pre-merge boots. But I think that she's playing a really good game. I think she's showed some really interesting vulnerability tonight with some of her tears, you know, talking about different aspects of the game. But I think she ultimately played that correctly with Jess.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though I think she may have misread what Jess was selling her, at the end of the day, she went with her gut, you know, to quote Kellen, and said, "Hey, I feel like I can't trust this person. I want to be around people that I can, as she said, play with and not in the sand." And I think that that's the way to go about it. And I think that I think she's definitely a contender. I'm not going to include Christian just because I feel like we're being set up as him as a big narrator, but then him going out like fourth. So I think I'm going to keep him off. I think Allison is out. I'm going to include Elizabeth for all the reasons I said before. So she's my third. I think that she is electric on screen. I think she has got maybe the best social game in the entire game. She's well set up on her tribe now. She played amazingly tonight. I'm going to include her, a little bit of a homer pick, include her in the top five. I think Mike is out. I kind of put him in sort of a diet version of Christian, where I feel like, you know, he's going to be kind of the narrator, but maybe doesn't have the upside that Christian does to win. I feel like Mike is probably never going to win this season, but I think he will be around a lot longer than people thought. I think Davey is not going to win. I think he's going to be a fun character, but I think that he's not a winner. Let's see. How many people do I have left? I have two spots.
You have two left. Yeah.
Okay. I don't think Johnny Mundo is going to win. I think we would have gotten a little bit more personal content from him in this episode if he was going to win. I don't think Carl is going to win, though I like him. Certainly, I still don't think Cara. I wouldn't put her there. I wouldn't put Natalie there. I wouldn't put Jeremy there. So I'm sort of running out of people at this point. Ugh. I don't think Lyris is going to win. Okay. So with that said, you know, I'll give you the bump. I'll put Christian. I'll slot him in at number four because I think I'm running out of people. I'll put him at number four, and then for number five, woof. it's tough. I mean, I think Dan. You know, Dan is out. Mike is out. I think Allison is out. Sadly, I think Angelina is out. Man. You know, screw it. I'll say Johnny Mundo at number five.
Yeah, and.
That would be quite the season. I think ultimately it's probably between him, Carl, right? Or,
yeah.
or probably the two. Maybe Davey would be another contender for number five.
I wouldn't put Nick in my top five, to be honest with you.
Well, hey, fair. I'm a Nick guy. I'm a Mason Dixon guy. I'm getting the tattoo, so I'll admit to my bias.
I'm going to say I think Nick has gotten actually a solid edit. I really do. But it was funny because as you were trying to go through your five, I was like, Vaughn, I'm looking at the cast right now because I have our fantasy games up.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, you have to include Christian because there's just not five other people.
I know. I got to the bottom of the people and yeah, I ran out of people.
I mean, I think that the top three easy are Christian, Gabby, Elizabeth, honestly.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. And then I will go out on a limb and I will say Kara still has a chance. Kara. And I don't know. I'm between – I agree with you. It's either Davey, Johnny Mundo, or Carl for that, yeah, that fifth spot for me.
Yeah.
And I really want to jump on. But, you know, I'm going to go with Davey for now because I feel like he's been, like, quietly hanging out, being good, being a provider. I like Johnny Mundo a lot. I like him a lot more than I thought I was going to. But I can't see him pulling out. Maybe he does. Yeah. Maybe the final three is him, Mike, and somebody else, and they just say, you know what? We've seen it in Heroes versus Villains. It doesn't matter. Sometimes you just vote for the person who has the money or somebody who you really didn't think you'd ever vote for to win because the other people that are sitting there, you don't like that much.
Yeah.
You know?
I think Mike and Johnny Mundo are both going to be there at the end. I agree that I'm not super high on either one of their chances to win. I could see one, both of them in the finale, honestly. And I think you're right about Davey. I mean, obviously with this winter stuff, you always look for unnecessary content. You know, they have to show people finding the idol. So they had to show him finding the idol. But did they really need to show him finding the octopus last week? Was that really necessary? They could have just shown us the whole provider segment this week with no context from last week, and we would have been, you know, just the same in terms of understanding what was going on. So maybe you're on to something with Davey. I mean, I almost didn't want to be too optimistic putting him in my top five just because I would love that. He would be an amazing winner in so many ways. He'd be so unique in so many ways. But hey, maybe you're right. That'd be great.
Yeah. And I just want to run through a quick comments real quick.
Yeah.
Sheldon Coupon, does this count as an endurance challenge lasting over an hour? No, it's always individual immunity. Gwen Stevens, this challenge reeks of will. I thought that was funny. What did you think of that challenge? To be like, you know, just be frank. What'd you think?
I didn't love it.
Me either. I thought that the puzzle was way too long.
Yeah.
I get the idea they were going for, but that should not – I mean, that just makes the whole beginning part pointless. Like, Alec did, that whole lead Alec built was for nothing.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why you can't even almost blame B for the challenge. I mean, they should have – they totally mispicked B, first of all, even though she's insanely athletic. You've got to pick someone that's long-limbed to do that. You can't just pick someone because they're built. You know, they should have picked maybe Carl or maybe at least Nick for that. But anyway, you're right though, that was completely all for naught because the challenge was so long and, you know, maybe it was just because of how dominant the Goliath performance was, but it definitely was not one of those challenges where my heart was beating through my chest because I was anticipating the winner.
Yeah, that's how I felt too, and I almost feel like the Goliaths are going to win the entire time. So, yeah. You know, Gamer Girl did say, how do you think B was chosen for the latter portion? Who do you think they should have picked instead? Yeah, I mean, that is what I was thinking too. I was like, how do you come up with B? And I get it. She's athletic. She's probably
– You got to pick someone lanky. You got to get the lankiest person. Feat they had to pull off physically, it's all about length.
You got to remember too, though, Carl did really bad in the challenge last
week. True. Maybe Nick, and then of course, if you're like Carl and you want to get Nick out anyway, put him in the high leverage challenge situation, set him up to fail and then get him ready to send him on his way.
Also, another thing that I wanted to bring up, did I put Kara in my top? Did I put Kara in my five?
Yeah, you did. You did. Said you were going to go out a limb for her.
Yeah, and because the other thing they showed is her saying, I'll do this to help the team when she decided to come into the challenge. She said, yeah, I'll come in and help or something. Very positive words.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it's true.
And also, I think it was Angelina, actually. Once again, throwing Angelina out there for no reason. I think she was the one that said, hey, I'm too hot. Someone needs to sub in for me. You know, that actually, considering they went on, if they would have lost, that would have been painted as, oh, you know, she bowed out of the challenge. What a weakling, yada, yada. But since they won, then actually that was seen as good. So once again, I mean, not that Angelina is going to win, but they're giving her these little tiny bits of content that they don't have to. So I'm not putting her in my top five, but I think that she's going to be around. I think she could be a fun villain.
Yeah, no, I agree. And perfect merge boot. Giovanni Oriana, prediction the nerds, Gabby, Christian, and Nick will be the swing votes at the merge. I'm kind of thinking that not only will they be the swing votes, they're going to be the swing votes who might be in the minority who come back and become the majority.
For sure. I mean, I think we're headed based on the fact that Goliath is dominating early, based on the fact that in the past couple of seasons we've seen that the tribe that dominates early is able to just pagong people after the swap. But at the same time, we're really being taught to root for the Davids. So you're really looking at maybe a potential I-2-4, you know, Russell Hance back from the dead type of situation here, where maybe you've got kind of like a little merry band of Davids that hang on and find a way to get to the end.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm gathering from what we've seen so far from this group. It just seems like, your merry band of Davids. I love that. That's what their alliance should be called, the merry band of Davids.
Like, there we go, yeah. And also, small point, but small great moment is when Natalie accused her tribe mates of playing like Davids. I love that.
I know.
How dare they? They're playing like Davids. Play like Goliaths. Come on.
She's successful for a reason, man. She knows what she's doing. No,
speaking of the nerds and that while we're talking about the challenge, one thing I was going to bring up earlier is very small moment that they chose to show where Christian turned to a very sad Gabby after the challenge and said, good work. It's okay, Gabs. So not only showing his ability to be kind of emotionally comforting, but showing their alliance and how strong their relationship is, and even showing that he's calling her by like a nickname and like a pet name. So they didn't have to show that at all. The fact that they showed it, I think, certainly foreshadowed their relationship playing a role in this vote tonight. But I think is really they're trying to tell us that that's a relationship we should be paying attention to going forward.
Yeah, and I had Gabby as my winner pick, but calling Gabby Gabs from Christian, that sounds a lot like somebody calling somebody else something who was second place to their winner. You have any memory in here, Vaughn?
I actually don't know what you're referring to. I wish I could.
Have you ever heard of OBS?
Michelle might have called her OBS
a couple times. So hey, Christian, that's all you've actually needed. This is proving that you get the winner's edit is because you called her Gabs, which sounds a lot like OBS.
There you go.
You know, and hey, Gabby and Aubrey are already being kind of compared before the season even started.
And maybe if things don't work out between you and Michelle Fitzgerald, you know, Gabby could be a good backup plan.
There you go. Or Christian's already got that platonically unlocked.
It was purely platonic. I believe him. So, yeah, who knows? I think that that was an interesting moment from the challenge. I mean, I always try to pick up on these like little tiny quotes that they show us that seem completely unnecessary, and that was one.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, you know what? I think we've been going for like an hour and a half. I actually have to do another podcast after this.
I know. You're a busy guy.
Our college podcast.
I got to get back to changing diapers.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of watched this episode in Vaughn's living room for a half hour because CBS was down for some reason, and the only way I could watch it was in Vaughn's living room. So I got to hear a baby cry at least once, so the baby is there.
He played it cool, though, overall. Yeah.
He knows Survivor's the most important thing going on already. That's the thing that's most important.
I don't know who his winner pick will be. Maybe he'll have one by the time I come back on the podcast.
Yeah, there you go. That's something to think about. Looking forward to that. Yeah. Maybe he'll have a better pick than Dad did.
Probably.
But yes, Vaughn, thank you so much again for filling in for Alexa. This was huge. You know, she wanted to be here. I don't even know the Yankees game score, and I'm a Yankees fan. No idea. My friend just texted me and said another run, but he's not a Yankee fan. So I don't know if that's a run for Oakland or a run for the Yankees, because I didn't even know there was one run. So
I feel like I'm going to guess that that's a Yankee run. I feel like if I was a fan of a team, I would text another run. But if I was – I would not text another run if my opponent or the team I didn't want to win.
But he's not a fan of either team. That's why I'm confused. I don't know. He's not even a baseball fan. He just texted me and said another run.
Yeah. Well, no, big shoes to fill with Alexa. I hope she's enjoying it. Go Braves. You know, I'm sure by the time I come back on the podcast, the Braves will be World Series champions, as they should be.
So you'll be coming back on the podcast in about 15 years. That's good. I'm glad you're gonna disappear on us.
Three. You know, it's a young team. You know, it's not
there you go. There you go. But yes, thank you so much. For anybody who follows us from Facebook, I did not put the link on Facebook because I forgot. Alexa always does this. You guys know Alexa so much better than I am at this stuff. So I'll give the crappy rundown at the end because I won't be able to fill Alexa's shoes. But follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook, you know, give us a like on iTunes. We're at Survivor Specialists on Twitter. See, I was supposed to put that in before. I forgot. I won't give you the update on our subscriber count because I actually don't know. So That's it. So that's all you need to know. Everybody go out there. Enjoy your week. And we'll see you on Sunday. I have no idea who I'm going to be podcasting with. There's a chance it could be Alexa. There's a chance it could be a familiar face. There's a chance it could just be me talking to myself. We have no idea yet. So stay tuned and follow us on Twitter so you can find that out.
Hashtag Mason Dixon for life.
Hashtag Mason Dixon. See, that is such a tricky thing to tweet. All right. Anyway, we will see you later.